Last year's ESA meeting, I presented a model of excavation termites that differs from current models in that there's almost no role for pheromonal marking. Pheromones are limited solely to trail marking and recruitment. There's some ramifications of this model that we're going to discuss today. First, I'm going to go through and just orient you to a tunnel. This is a termite tunnel. There's a tunnel mouth at the tunnel origin and a tunnel tip. At the end of the tunnel tip is what's called a digging face, and that's where the tunnel is elongating from, so the excavation is focused here. Individuals move through this tunnel. Initially, they move through as excavators who are looking to excavate or to dig. They move from the tunnel mouth to the tunnel tip. They're very motivated to reach this tunnel tip and the digging face and dig. Once they get there, they pick up a parcel of soil and their motivation changes. Now they become depositors, and they will either deposit this pellet of soil they've picked up in their mouth parts beyond the tunnel mouth, or they will deposit it along the tunnel wall and plaster it against the tunnel wall. The motivation to reach the tunnel tip results in a phenomenon I've termed digging pressure. Initially, you'll see individuals at the digging face themselves, these two, have access to the digging face, and they're pulling parcels of soil off. As higher flow of individuals comes up behind them, the traffic jam ensues, and we get queuing, or individuals waiting in line. After a relatively short critical period, these individuals will see that their motivation to dig outweighs their motivation to reach the digging face, and they will excavate laterally along the tunnel wall. This leads to a very characteristic wedge shape of tunnels as they elongate, and in fact, this sets the width of tunnels. These two forces I've talked about, lateral deposition and lateral excavation, can be seen as in opposition. Lateral deposition serves to narrow tunnels as soil is put along the tunnel wall. Lateral excavation, of course, widens the tunnels. I'm showing it here as though the parcel of soil that's put down is immediately picked up, but that's actually not the case. In fact, the parcel of soil seems to be no more or less attractive than any soil on the tunnel wall. Again, this is not something where the soil parcel is pheromonally marked as in other models. Homeostasis in tunnel width requires a balance between deposition and removal. So you have a situation where traffic congestion leads to lateral excavation. Excavation leads to the deposition of that soil. If the deposition is in the tunnel, you get traffic congestion again, and we get a cycle. There are instances in which this homeostasis has to be broken. For instance, at the tunnel tip, elongation requires that there is a disequilibrium between digging and plastering. Not a problem at the tunnel tip because, as I showed, the soil is always going back towards the tunnel mouth, so you won't see digging at the tip and then plastering at the tip. There's a second situation, though, where this is important. That's in branch formation. Branch formation requires a local disequilibrium between the soil deposition and the soil removal. In this case, it has to be in the favor of removal, or you won't get an elongation of branches. This is further complicated because the depression created by excavation may actually be preferential for deposition by those individuals looking to deposit soil. So what we have is a very important competition here, a race between excavation and deposition whenever we want to see a branch form. Two types of branches. This one I'm not going to talk about today, I'm just going to present it. This is by far the most common type of branch. It's a bifurcation. It happens at the digging face in the tunnel tip in response to this digging pressure I described. You get a widening due to the digging pressure, and this is very unstable. The digging face becomes indistinct, and then you either have a break into two branches, or if the pressure is released, you can go back into branch will fail, you go back into a single branch. Again, I'm not going to talk about that today. I'm going to talk about lateral branching that happens before the tunnel tip. So this is along the tunnel walls. The difference being here we have lateral excavation, and now whether it succeeds or fails is due to this race between deposition and excavation. So if deposition overwhelms excavation, the branch fails. All right, so as an examination of these incipient branches, I'm looking at Coptotermes formicinus. The data set I'm looking at is actually for a different study, but what I was doing is taking 24 and 36 hour recordings of termites in arenas. And by finding branches that formed and then rewinding, I was able to isolate five of these somewhat rare lateral branching events as opposed to the bifurcations. If we pool the deposition and removal for all these five branches over a 1 hour period, just by a chi-square test, we can see that there's a disequilibrium. This is not surprising because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I told you that these were successful branches. But now if we break this down a little further, we can see something interesting. Remember I told you early on that excavators are moving towards the tunnel tip and depositors are moving towards the tunnel mouth. What this results in is a bias in directional flow of workers based on their task. And if we imagine an imagination in the tunnel wall, which could be an incipient branch, excavators are possibly more likely to encounter this proximal edge just due to their vector, and depositors are more likely to encounter this distal edge as they drift into it, again due to their vector. So we have the proximal edge, proximal to the tunnel tip, and distal from the tunnel tip. If we break down deposition and removal by proximal and distal, we can see that the proximal deposition and removal is still highly biased towards excavation. So this is the tunnel for me right here. But if we look at the distal end is actually, if anything, biased towards deposition. What this means to the tunnel is that if we have an incipient tunnel at time one that is symmetrical, at time two, we're going to start to get preferentially deposition on the distal end and excavation on the proximal end. And as the tunnel elongates, the whole invagination is going to skew and form a tunnel. Just keep in mind this tunnel is about 50 degrees, this angle from the branch from the main tunnel. I'll talk about that in a second. So if we summarize this section, branch formation requires a local disequilibrium between soil deposition and removal. Task-specific bias in the direction of worker flow leads to an asymmetry of labor and incipient branch sites. The asymmetry leads to directionality in incipient branches. And the interesting thing, and this has to be looked at a lot further, obviously, is that the sort of 50-degree angle formed between the new branch and the main tunnel is very similar to the mean branch angles that we reported previously for Coptotermes formosanus. So this purely physical interaction of the vectors of biased workers may be biasing the tunnels towards this angle. To go further with this, I wanted to know, does the position of the incipient tunnel relative to the tunnel tip affect the likelihood of tunnel formation? If it has to do with this race between deposition and removal, then the position relative to the tip should affect this. This is the experimental arena I used. If you've followed our work over the years, you've seen that our arenas are getting much smaller and more modular. The important thing to look at in this arena is that I gave them a pre-excavated 2.5 millimeter tunnel. At the end of this tunnel, they encounter a tube filled with blue sand, and the irregularity is, we cut a small irregularity into the tunnel, which I'll show you now. There were five different experimental treatments. One consisted of a small 3 millimeter by 3 millimeter wide incipient branch, and then a larger 5 by 3 incipient branch. These were placed either half a centimeter, which is roughly the length of the body of a termite, or 1 centimeter from the tunnel tip. And then the last treatment was a small 3 by 3 incipient branch placed near the mouth of the tunnel tip, so 6 centimeters back. This is a very complicated slide. You don't really read it because I'm just going to summarize it for you. In every case when the incipient branch was about the length of a body from the tunnel tip, we got branch formation. Perfect, thanks. When the incipient branch was a centimeter from the tunnel tip, if it was a small one, we had no branching. If it was a slightly larger one, some of them branched. And when it was all the way near the tunnel tip, you can see that really very little was going on. So we had no branching, but very little activity. The conclusion for this section, when we have the 3x3 incipient branches that are one body length from the tunnel tip at the beginning of excavation, they become branches. While those just beyond this distance, they're likely to be filled in by soil faster than they can be excavated. The slightly wider incipient branches have a possibility of becoming branches even at 1 centimeter. This is probably due to the fact that, in a sense, they have a head start. They have a greater volume that needs to be filled, so excavation can outweigh deposition, even though they're at that distance. The incipient branches that were very remote from the tunnel tip showed very reduced activity or almost no removal. This is interesting too because this says that not only is this competition important, but there may be a proximity to the tunnel tip required to even institute excavation. Why those branches really close to the tunnel tip formed by branches, I think, is because they're acting like bifurcations. So because they're so close, you're getting a reduced deposition, and that reduced deposition allows them to construct. You can see here that close up, one body line from the tunnel tip, they are in a situation where deposition might be expected to be less, but more importantly, they're benefiting from this lateral excavation event. In conclusion summary, the flow of soil moving from excavation at the tunnel tip to locations along the walls creates a competition between excavation and deposition and incipient and lateral branching sites. Termites depositing soil move towards the tunnel mouth. Excavators move towards towards the tip of the tunnel. This biases termites depositing soil to encounter the distal edge of the tunnel, while excavators encounter the proximal edge. And this is the take-home message and ties back into the somewhat ambiguous title. These directional biases mitigate competition between deposition and removal, and they act to coordinate the labor of termites in a manner that allows for branch formation. Thank you, guys. I made it.